Welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankum.
We are so excited to be able to bring you today with Veterans Day last week. Colonel Fred Thaden, his current position is commander of Air Force ROTC at both BYU and Utah Valley University. In 1991, he graduated from BYU and he's commissioned in the Air Force in 1991. He commanded small and large units and organizations from 100 to 3,000 people. He is a veteran of Operations Joint Forge, Enduring Freedom, and Iraqi Freedom. His military awards include Defense Superior Service Medal, Legion of Merit, and Bronze Star. And my favorite, he's been married 32 years, 7 children, 13 grandchildren, and one on the way. 28 and a half years active duty in the Air Force. Colonel, welcome and thank you for being here.
Hey, Dave, thanks so much. And Kurt, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I look forward to chatting with you for a little bit about some topics that are pretty important today. But yeah, great. Over to you all. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're excited to have you. And again, just so appreciative of your service and all of the military service. To us, you're heroes. And so thank you for all you do for our country.
You're very welcome. I guess I don't look at myself as a hero, but oddly enough, I look at other people that wear the uniform as a hero, right? So maybe it's just sort of a thing that that we do when we think of ourselves, but I appreciate that. It's a pleasure to serve our country. It's a pleasure to be part of this great military institution that we have and fight for the freedoms and liberties that we have in this country. Yeah.
Well, to that point, maybe can you tell us about who some of your military heroes are? And I don't know if you have any experiences with any of them that that you can share with us.
I sure will. I guess whenever somebody asks me this question, the first one that always comes to mind is my dad. Unfortunately passed away, but lived a good long life. He was 30 years in the Army, an enlisted man, and he went through the Korea and Vietnam time of our conflicts. And I grew up in that household, an Army household, and with him gone frequently and those sorts of things. So he's certainly a hero in my perspective. And I'll just throw a shout out there for the spouses as well. My mother, who stayed behind and took care of the family while he was taking care of the nation's business. She's a hero as well. So I look up to my parents. My father-in-law is the same. He was 29 years in the Army, same sort of time period as my dad. And in fact, when we had our wedding anniversary, our wedding reception, they both wore their uniforms at my request. I thought that was pretty awesome to honor them in that way. But there's a number of examples that I could point to, and there's some probably that your listeners would know if I throw out some names like General Colin Powell. I think he's a great example of being a servant leader, served well in the military and then served in presidential administration. General Mattis, recently Secretary of Defense, I think he's a great example of standing up for your moral principles and what you believe in, and doing things that you believe to be right in your core and in your heart. Maybe some probably less known examples of leaders that have really helped me. One example in particular, and this was a time in my life and in my wife's life, Dee Dee, where we lost one of our children. So we have 7 children. One of them passed away when he was 13 months old. And that certainly was a troubling time for us. Anybody who's gone through the death of a loved one can certainly understand that. But I was active duty. I was a captain. So I had, things to do for my career and for my bosses. And right when the unfortunate incident happened, we were soon to be moving to another location. From one assignment to another, from Oklahoma to Texas. And my boss there was really willing to give me all the time that I needed to get, our affairs in order, to take care of our family, to take care of burying our son and those sorts of things. So really a great example of how to be a compassionate leader when your people need, some extra attention or some extra time. On the flip side, when I actually moved to Texas, this was about a month after my son passed away, I was supposed to go into work the first day, and I just wasn't feeling well. You know, I was still sort of down in the dumps. And I called my new boss, who I hadn't met yet, and I said, "Hey, ma'am, you know, I really don't feel like I can come in today. This is going to be pretty tough." And she knew the circumstances, but she said, "You know what, Captain Thaden, you just need to come into work. So come on in." And so I thought to myself, wow, that's pretty tough. I mean, you know, okay, I'll go in, but man, this is going to be rough. But what she showed me eventually was how to show some tough love, right? Because I had to get back into things, and she knew that. And as it turns out, she went through a very similar circumstance. And, you know, maybe that, maybe she had a boss that did the same thing for her. But, you know, a leader needs to know when to be compassionate, but also needs to know when to kind of put the clamps down and say, no, let's get back to work. Let's start doing what we're supposed to be doing. Let's get our mind on something else, and let's start getting the mission done. So just a couple of examples of leaders that have influenced me in my life.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What a touching story, and one that I can imagine you could write volumes about what you learned from that experience. And speaking of tough love, you know, we and speaking of heroes, we think back, you know, as far as the military is concerned, the greatest generation, you know, those that served in World War II and related wars. And, you know, back then, it's just incredible to see these individuals who stood up and joined the military, knowing that more than likely they're going to war and they're putting their life on the line. I mean, remarkable. How does that compare to now? I know a lot of people, you know, that going into the military isn't as traditional as it used to be. And so speak to us about that as far as the rising generation, those that, you know, you work with in the ROTC at those universities. What are you taking from that generation and the type of heroes that we'll probably see in the future?
A great, great question, Kurt. And you can look to, I think, a lot of examples of current generation folks that are really great leaders. But, you know, back to what you call the greatest generation, I just have to throw this out there. There's a great book by Stephen Ambrose called D-Day, and it's all about the Normandy invasion, right? And if you really want to get into the mind of that generation, read that book. It's pretty fantastic. And that was just a incredible, incredibly planned and executed mission where we lost a lot of people. It was a slaughterhouse, but people just kept coming and coming, and we knew what we were fighting, right? There was this big enemy that we were trying to go after, and that generation really proved their worth and their love of their country. But back to your question about, you know, this generation, I think I have the best job in the United States Air Force because I get to work with this generation. I mean, these are some are very recent high school graduates. You know, some at this university and at UVU have been on missions, so they're a little bit older. They've been on the two-year mission. And they are hungry and energetic and enthusiastic to serve their country. You know, I think that many people join the military for sort of selfish reasons, right? To get a job, to get an education, to have some money, to get into a house, you know, those sorts of things. But I think people stay in the military for very selfless reasons, right? They enjoy being part of a team, and they enjoy being part of something much larger than themselves, which is what the military is. And, you know, our oath that we take to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, we take that very seriously. But these cadets that I work with, they are super jazzed and super enthusiastic to go out there and serve their country. And you can read, you know, I just taught a lesson today to my almost graduating cadets about Operation Anaconda, right? So this was in the early days of the Afghanistan campaign. And Tech Sergeant John Chapman, just a young guy, did some very heroic things, right? And things like you would read about from the World War II generation. So we have in this generation, no matter what you think about what you might read in the news or whatever, but I've seen the enthusiasm, the energy, and the willingness to serve from this generation. And it really gives me hope. It really lets me understand that In a couple of years, I'll be retiring, but I'm turning this Air Force over to a great, great generation of young airmen. And it's a pleasure. I love it.
That's great. Yeah, our neighbor, their son just went into the Air Force Academy, and I was struck. I had a chance to talk with him a little bit before he went in, and I was struck by his pure desire to serve our country. And so I think you put that beautifully. Fred, I'm curious, we're going through some difficult and challenging times in our country right now. What are your thoughts on leadership and what we need in our country as far as moral and ethical leaders goes?
Great, great question. And we're going through some very challenging times. And I would imagine that, you know, we could probably have this very similar conversation if we were in the 60s or, you know, in the early days of World War I or World War II, right? So this country is not, things like this have happened in our country before, right? There's been unrest. There's been violence in our streets, and it's all very, very unfortunate. And I certainly wish it wouldn't happen, but we've had plagues before. We've had these sorts of things. So I think it's important to remember that we as a country have survived many, many very challenging and very hard things. Right. So I think what we need in leadership is folks that are willing and able to provide hope, right? Providing hope is so important for a people. And, you know, you can start from the president of the United States all the way down to, you know, the flight commander in a squadron in the Air Force, or, you know, a university instructor or whatever. So hope is just really, really important. And I think that if leaders are able to do that, when they are able to do that, they can motivate their folks. They can motivate people to do the right thing. I had this experience this summer where I was in charge of all of the field training for ROTC cadets that want to commission in the Air Force. And every year we send about 3,000 or just over 3,000 through a field training experience. It's kind of like basic training. It's a little different though, but you can compare it to basic training. And it's for ROTC cadets that have had a couple of years in the program and they want to continue on. And so they go through this field training experience, and it's a leadership evaluation. Well, obviously this summer was a summer unlike any other summer. We had COVID-19. And in fact, the Navy and the Army canceled most of their field training events completely. The Air Force decided not to. And they said, hey, Thaden, we want you to go down to this location in Alabama, and we want you to bring through these cadets under this COVID-19 environment, and we want you to evaluate their leadership abilities and those things. And so I had about a cadre of about 200 active duty and reserve officers and enlisted folks that worked for me, and we had about 1,000 cadets that we brought through this evaluation experience. And it was scary. I mean, it was really, really scary. People were there, their families were going through COVID. I mean, some family members unfortunately passed away while we were there. Some were very sick while we were there. We were essentially locked down to that base. We had to COVID test all the cadets that came in. And there was a point in time where it just got really, really bad. Morale was really low. And so I circled my top five or so leaders together, and I said, hey, what are we going to do? And frankly, you know what, I also exercised something that we often do in this community, which is pray, right? You know, I wanted some guidance. I wanted some help on what to do. And so we came up with this plan to try and instill some motivation and some hope in the cadre so that they could continue training this mission. And so I think, and we were able to do that. We achieved some success. So a leader who is able to motivate and provide hope for their people, I think, is one that will see some success. And there's many other qualities, I think, involved in leadership. But specific to your question and the times that we're going through, I think we need to provide hope and we need to provide motivation that we're going to get through this thing.
Yeah. And I'm curious, you know, with our religious tradition of serving missions, you know, a lot of times the same age that people begin military service or go into the military. I'm just curious your perspective with that mission dynamic. And I mean, I'm sure with the at the universities you work at, you probably work with a lot of return missionaries or potential missionaries. And
right.
And some maybe don't have the opportunity to serve a mission. And like I said before, traditionally, we don't default to, well, maybe try the military. So what do you see as far as that dynamic? Is that, you know, is there a difference of those that go on a mission first and then go in the military or vice versa?
Right. Great. Great question. Great thought. So I served a mission myself down in Argentina. I loved it. It was great. Good 2 years of my life. Let me just back up a little bit. So this detachment 855 out of BYU and UVU, we are unique in a couple of things. One, on average, our cadets are the lieutenants that we produce are older because of the missionary service. And two, 65 to 70% of them speak a second language, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Which is very valuable to the military, right? So I think that I could be biased. Okay, I am biased. I think that we have a leg up maybe on some of the other detachments out there, because I believe what that mission does for you, whether or not you go on your mission first and then go to college, or you go to college for a year and then go on a mission, I think what that mission does for you is it matures you, it helps you learn about life, and it helps you learn about yourself. And those are very important things to know when you are in military service, because you're going to be working with a lot of other folks, right? And knowing you, is very important in leading other people. Now, obviously, that not everybody goes on a mission, right? But I believe that those that don't go on a mission benefit and learn from those the mature perspective of those that have gone on a mission. So I think the missionary service is well suited to folks that want to join the military, because it does refine them and it does help them get through a challenging time, which the military will certainly provide them. You know, once they go active duty, there's going to be a lot of challenging times ahead. Yeah.
Well, Colonel, we're so grateful for you, for your time to speak with us. Before we close, do you have any final thoughts or maybe thoughts of hope, for people who are going through challenging times?
Yeah. So I think what first comes to my mind, what gives me hope is, and this might just be me, but I really do believe, and I have faith in the innate human desire and drive to be good, to do good. I really believe that humans in general want good things for themselves and for others. Now, you can point to plenty of examples where that doesn't appear to be the case, but I think those examples are the outliers. And I think they get glamorized or whatever, sort of, and that's probably not the right word, but they get reported more often than the good things that happen, right? So, I sort of believe that for every bad thing that happens, there's probably multiple good things that have happened. And I just really think that humans in general have this innate desire to be good. And I've seen plenty of examples of it in my my personal life and in my military life. And so that really does give me hope. And I also take hope and value in the support from family and from friends, right? When times are rough, when things aren't going quite your way, there's generally always going to be somebody that you can reach out to, whether it's a family member or a friend, a coworker, doesn't matter, somebody that can give you some hope. And I think that that's very, very valuable to understand that those resources are out there. I think it's important when we're talking about what gives people hope, it's important to understand what's important in your life and to have a balance, right? It's not all about work. It's not all about play. It's not all about church. It's not all about family, right? You need to take some time to yourself. So what I do, I like to run. You know, I'm a marathon runner. I love it. And when I'm out on the road, it's just me. I don't use the headphones or any of that kind of stuff. It's just distracting to me, right? So I love to just release the frustrations that I might have in a physical type of a way, you know, in exercise. And so people should find something that allows them to do that so that they can get back into the the reality of things and face the challenges that are ahead with some hope, with some like recharged batteries, right? Those sorts of things. So those are just a couple of things that I think give me hope, and that I would hope others, you know, find pleasure in and satisfaction in.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you so much for your time. We sure appreciate you.
All right. You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Voices of Light. Have a great day.